I have an 8-year-old daughter that cries all the time, wondering why she didn't get to meet my mother, why somebody took her life. And I have no answers for her at all. He is a monster. And he sits there while our tax dollars go to him living. That's not fair to us.
Is Washington State going to put an end to capital punishment? You were just listening to Jesse Trapp arguing against a capital punishment repeal this week at a public hearing in Olympia. Her mother's killer sits on death row. The death penalty has been on hold here since 2014, when Governor Inslee declared a moratorium on executions. We're going to get an update on what lawmakers are up to right now from our Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins, in just a moment. First, KUOW reporter Patricia Murphy was a media witness at the execution of the last person to be put to death by Washington State. Cal Coburn Brown was executed by lethal injection in 2010 for the rape and murder of a 21-year-old Burien woman. Patricia, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Bill.
So our state lawmakers are debating this, hearing the arguments, pro and con, and casting votes. You saw this system in action, which is something few people ever see. What are you expecting?
Well, I had been in the chamber prior to this execution for a tour because of a series I was working on. But honestly, that night, I had no idea what I would see. What I did see was no surprise. It was an unremarkable experience, which is exactly what the Department of Corrections goes for in these kinds of situations. It was rehearsed. It was professional. It was streamlined. It took us longer to get to the chamber than it took for him to die once they started that lethal drip.
Okay. Professional and streamlined. What takes place in the state penitentiary? What happens when a person is put to death?
So what happens in terms of the actual mechanics of an execution actually starts about 30 days prior. And the way they do this is they divide the responsibility of this job up among many people. And that is a kindness to the executioner. I did not kill the prisoner. I strapped his right arm down. So it's divided, and that's a kindness. So those
different people have different small jobs.
Different jobs. Mm-hmm. Different jobs. So that night, the media witnesses are taken in. We're searched. We're issued a pencil and a pad. We're taken to the execution chamber, which is a room that has a large viewing window. It is on the bottom viewing window is the lethal injection chamber. The upper window is actually the gallows because you can be hanged still in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So we walk into the chamber. Brown's victim's family members were on the left-hand side. Media witnesses were on the right-hand side. A curtain was pulled up. Cal Brown was strapped to a gurney. This was an unsettling moment for me. He was staring at me. He's given his last words. Stephen Sinclair, the Department of Corrections superintendent at the time, gives a signal to someone behind a panel that you can't see, and that drip is started. And it was a very, very unremarkable experience from that perspective, from a physical, like, viewing perspective.
So media witnesses and victims, family members, not family members of Cal Brown?
That, it was my understanding, they are allowed to attend.
Okay.
I'm not sure how the DOC would handle that, but they are allowed to attend. Cal Brown was in touch with his family members. No one came to the execution, and his attorney had to claim his body at the end of the night.
What about family members who you have interviewed? How do they feel about executions?
I've talked to a lot of family members who have had victim family members who've had the killer executed. One was very relieved. This was a sense of renewal for her, that she could now move on with her life. One simply said it really didn't impact his life very much at all. He just didn't think about that guy very much. And in Cal Brown's case, Holly Wass's family, the victim's family members, were absolutely furious that the media was there. They considered this a private moment for the family, but the reality is that it is state law that the media witnesses an execution. It's a transparency thing. But they were furious, and you could sense that as soon as we walked in the room. They clearly did not want us there.
That's KUOW reporter Patricia Murphy, who was a witness to the last execution that Washington State has done. This was Cal Brown in 2010. And again, the legislature is considering abolishing the death penalty. Right now, there is a moratorium placed on the death penalty. Let's bring in Olympia correspondent Austin Jenkins. Hi, Austin.
Hello.
So there was a push to ban the death penalty last year. What's different this time?
Yeah, this is, you know, kind of a perennial bill. Somebody usually every year introduces a death penalty repeal bill, and it usually goes nowhere. But supporters of repeal have had the sense that momentum is building for this, and that if they are patient, that the public will come around to believing that repeal is the right way to go, and that they'll eventually be able to get this through the legislature. And they've been watching what's happened around the country in other states where, in some cases, it's been a bipartisan effort. So what's significant is that today, the Senate Law and Justice Committee has now moved the death penalty repeal bill out of committee. That is usually not, a stop the presses moment, but in this case, it is a significant step forward in this effort. A long way to final passage and a governor's signature, but a not insignificant step. The question now is going to be, does this get a vote on the floor of the state Senate? And that remains to be seen.
Why is this push happening since we have the same governor in office who declared this moratorium years ago? We're at this status quo position where no one's being executed. So why is this happening?
The governor, when he announced his moratorium, said that he hoped this would spark a conversation in Washington about death penalty repeal. He wasn't necessarily going to lead that conversation, but what happened this week that is certainly noteworthy is that King County prosecutor Dan Satterberg published an op-ed in the Seattle Times over the weekend and then came down and testified on Monday in favor of repeal, saying that he has come to the conclusion that the criminal justice system in the state of Washington would be, in his words, stronger without the death penalty. Now, not all prosecutors agree with him. In fact, there were a couple of prosecutors who showed up to say that they believe the death penalty should remain in place, or at the least, it should be a vote of the people. But to see the prosecutor, a Republican prosecutor in the state's most populous county, coming out against the death penalty is certainly a sign of changing times.
Do you know about a trend nationwide that Washington State might or might not be a part of when it comes to abolishing the death penalty?
It certainly is happening more and more across the country. We're seeing, if you look at the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty, and you look at that map, there are several states in recent years that have either repealed legislatively the death penalty, or the courts in their states have thrown out the death penalty. The other thing here's another kind of interesting statistic, again, from the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. 40 states have not carried out an execution between 2013 and 2017. And this, I think, gets to maybe answering the question you just asked, Bill, which is why are we having this conversation now? Why, if there's a moratorium, should there be a conversation about this? Why do advocates believe there should be? The key argument that Dan Satterberg is making is that the death penalty isn't working. Yes, we have people on death row, but the appeals process goes on for decades and decades, and the cost is so expensive that most counties won't even pursue a death penalty conviction because of the cost. And so his argument is it's not working. The flip side of that is Jamie Bindle was a correctional officer at the Monroe Correctional Facility who was murdered by Byron Scherf, who was serving life in prison without the possibility of parole, a three-strikes offender, and he strangled her to death. What's the penalty for Byron Scherf if there's no death penalty? The Green River Killer, Gary Ridgway, confessed to and led investigators to numerous victims because they used the death penalty as something of leverage. So there are cases, and even Dan Satterberg will admit, there are some cases where he sees value, but he thinks ultimately it's not, it's past its time in Washington State. Clearly, there are many others who feel like this should remain on the books.
Finally, Austin, whether it's from lawmakers or an initiative, what are the odds that this capital punishment repeal is going to happen, say, in the next year?
I think that in a short 60-day election year session that the default position would be it's not going to happen in 2018. I also think that if it gets a vote on the floor of the state Senate, that that would be a very, very significant step in this effort. The Lieutenant Governor, Cyrus Habib, who is the chair of the Rules Committee, that's sort of the gatekeeper to what goes out under the floor, tweeted at me today that he's going to be encouraging a floor vote on it. We know that the prime sponsor, Jamie Peterson, State Senator Jamie Peterson, would like to see a floor vote. But I would be very surprised if the repeal happens in 2018.
That's KUOW's Olympia correspondent, Austin Jenkins. Austin, thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally, back to you, Patricia Murphy, KUOW reporter. As we said, you witnessed that execution of Cal Brown 7 years ago now, and you described it being clinical and routine. If you don't mind, I'm curious how it has stayed with you, whether that witnessing that has affected you.
You know, it's certainly a macabre club to be part of. At the time, I considered it an important historic event that I felt privileged to cover, right? But honestly, it was not an easy experience, and it took a while. One of the people I interviewed before I did that was a medical ethicist who sent me a text that night and said, "Hey, things are going to come up about this. Get in touch when they do." And I was like, I'm in work mode. You know, I'm in work.
That's my job.
Yeah. About a week and a half later, things really started to come up. It is not an easy situation. Don't let the professionalism and sanitary nature of it detract from the difficulty of witnessing that in the moment.
Right. Whatever anyone's stance on it is, it's a serious, serious thing that Patricia Murphy has seen in person as the legislature contemplates now possibly abolishing the death penalty in Washington State. Patricia Murphy, thanks for this.
Thanks, Bill.